The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody, good morning. It is Thursday, and it is, can you believe it? Where is February going? How time does fly. It's already the 20th day of February, 2020. Is that one of those numerological things? It's not a palindrome. It's not a, that's just a lot of twos and zeros. There you go. 2020, happy Feb 20. So let's go with what the expectations were, and then let's go with what happened on the debate stage last night. And it's funny, we got a wide swath of listeners, and if you are a Democrat, if you plan on actually voting for one of these people, I can help you with that, bud. You know, hey. Yeah, but if you still do plan on voting for one of those people, tell me how your thoughts changed. But for those of us who are conservative, for those of us who are aching to bring about the Trump second term, how did last night make you feel? First of all, Trump beats every single one of these people. If the election were held tomorrow, I don't think it's close. Of course, the election is not held tomorrow. A lot can happen. You have to actually run the campaign. You have to actually see who picks whom as a running mate and what happens in the news. And does the economy remain strong? And are we at war with Sweden? Or, you know, God only knows what else. So there are a lot of variables. So I will never sit here in February or March or April or May or June and say that because things seem a certain way now, that is the way they're going to look on November 3rd. That would be really, really dumb. Let me tell you something else that's dumb, and people are doing it, okay? And I've counseled against this for people in the media. I've counseled against this for people walking around talking about stuff with each other, all right? It's like a flowchart. You ready? I love flowcharts. Did Michael Bloomberg do well last night? No. So you follow that flowchart down next to, okay, so was his campaign done a large and irreparable amount of damage? No. Everybody gets so caught up in the moment. It's whatever happened right now, whatever happened last night. Remember when Kamala Harris was going to be the nominee because she successfully race baited Joe Biden for 5 minutes? On, oh, that's it. She's the nominee. Oh, really? Remember when Elizabeth Warren was just going to be the nominee because she led X number of polls for something? Well, remember back in the day when Biden announced, oh, he's going to be the nominee. So what everybody's got to learn is this is a marathon and not a sprint. And things play out and storylines develop and narratives mature and there's ebb and flow and give and take. So here's what you have to understand about last night that did not go well for Mike Bloomberg. That is that you have to realize how many people did not see it. How many millions of people who will be voting in Texas and California, Democrats in two of our biggest states. They didn't see this thing last night. And they might not even watch that much cable news, where a lot of people, even the Democrats and the liberal channels, gathered together and said, wow, that was not a good night for Bloomberg. All they're going to see are his ads, his ubiquitous ads. They're everywhere. And there are going to be tons of people who see only the ads and did not see him struggle on a debate stage last night. So this now, did Bloomberg help himself? No. Are there some people who are particularly plugged in who watch this and follow the analysis who might be kind of rethinking the whole Bloomberg thing? Yes, absolutely. But the notion, the just the instant analysis, only the things that happened in the last 24 hours matter, is a very immature way of looking at things. I mean, people have been trying to write Joe Biden off, you know, for months. Biden was okay last night. He's not dead, as long as South Carolina looms on the horizon. Now, he might largely be if he can't win or come in a close second in South Carolina. We'll get to that in a bit because that's at the end of the month. That's on the 29th. It's Nevada on this Saturday, Saturday night caucuses, those stupid caucuses. But that's going to be the next wave of headlines. And who wins that? That's probably going to be Bernie Sanders. And by the way, it was Bernie Sanders who won last night. Was it because Bernie made all kinds of sparkling points and did them better than ever before? No, Bernie was just Bernie. But nobody really came after him because everybody was busy going after Bloomberg. And Mayor Pete and Amy Klobuchar nearly came to blows. Oh, my gosh. Are you calling me stupid? I've got all these moments. Oh, my. And here's you know, the real headline is, it was a two-hour debate, and it was pretty interesting. It was pretty doggone interesting. And so I've got some excerpts, and so please feel free to share some thoughts. 866-660-5759. Let me do a quick panoply of moments just for a couple of minutes, and then we're going to hop right to your calls. 866-660-5759. Okay. It was a night of live action.
Mr. Bloomberg had policies in New York City of stop and frisk, which went after African-American and Latino people in an outrageous way. That is not a way you're going to grow voter turnout.
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg.
And here's the other headline. Elizabeth Warren is the headline. And by this, I mean no one's fate changed more last night. Bernie was a front runner, still is. Bloomberg was a curiosity, still is. The Bloomberg, we don't know. We don't know. There's another debate next week. Whoops, you know. But real people don't start voting until the 3rd of March. Elizabeth Warren showed up last night to say, I am not irrelevant. I am here and I am ready to fight. And I don't mean fight Donald Trump, but fight this guy, fight some of my rivals standing here on the stage with me.
Democrats are not going to win. If we have a nominee who has a history of hiding his tax returns,
no one cares about tax returns,
harassing women, and of supporting racist policies
the racist policies thing. He has tried to cleanse himself of that. That probably works. The thing that Elizabeth Warren brought up, and there's an excerpt I've got to get to, is where she dismantles Bloomberg for some non-disclosure agreements, the infamous NDA. A non-disclosure agreement usually means you did something bad, okay, and you don't want anybody to know about it, and you pay somebody off so that they don't talk about it. Is that legal? Of course. Is it consensual? Of course. Does it mean in every single case that it's some enormous, seething, dreadful thing? Not necessarily. It's just usually an embarrassment you are looking to avoid. Bloomberg has some of these. Is it because he, you know, raped somebody in a stairwell? No. But he, by his own admission, it's all of it is about somebody didn't like a joke I told. Whoa.
Redlining and stop and frisk. Democrats take a huge risk if we just substitute one arrogant billionaire for another.
Golly, Elizabeth, as I began my tweet storm last night, and please go back and follow my Twitter feed last night at Mark Davis. I said, wow, Elizabeth Warren is absolutely on the warpath. Whoops. Whoa, can I even say that?
I actually welcomed Mayor Bloomberg to the stage.
Amy Klobuchar.
I thought that he shouldn't be hiding behind his TV ads.
The mayor says that he has a great record, that he's done these wonderful things. Well, the fact of the matter is he has not managed his city very, very well when he was there. He didn't get a whole lot done. He had stop and frisk, throwing close to 5 million young black men up against the wall.
Did 5 million black men actually get thrown against the wall? I don't know. Is there a tally on that?
We could wake up 2 weeks from today, the day after Super Tuesday, and the only candidates left standing will be Bernie Sanders and Mike Bloomberg, the two most polarizing figures on this stage. Let's put forward somebody who's actually a Democrat.
Now, and once again, here's another Mayor Pete. He is sharp. He is smooth. He is well spoken. He is well prepared. And what he means by that is Bloomberg was a former Republican, and Bernie Sanders is a Democratic socialist.
We shouldn't have to choose between one candidate who wants to burn this party down and another candidate who wants to buy this party out.
He had a lot of good index cards last night, Mayor Pete did. So, all right, so there's some of that, a wide panoply of, that's the word of the day, panoply. 866-660-5759. Hey, ask what ye will and it shall be done. I said, let's look at the intended audience last night wasn't conservative talk show guys, but I'm intrigued and I enjoy analyzing these things. It was Democrats who are purportedly going to vote for one of these folks and has to analyze and evaluate this field as somehow deserving of a vote when it all comes to Texas here week after next. Charles, pleasure to have you. How you doing, sir? Happy Thursday.
Hey man. Good morning, Mark.
Hi.
Hey, I watched the debate, and you know, I'm a Democrat, and Mike Bloomberg, he bombed, man. You know, I know you and you thought that maybe he'll do a little better, the ad buys and all that.
Yep.
Yeah, I believe anyone on that stage can beat crooked Trump.
No.
It's just that Black Bloomberg can't beat a Democrat. That's his problem.
It is, and it's funny because one of the stories of the last few weeks was that as Joe Biden does not look real strong, and that's where a lot of the black vote was, that black voters were, nobody's monolithic. It's not like every black person goes looking for the same, but it looked like the black support was starting to migrate toward Bloomberg, because Lord knows I think that's false.
You could have a couple of people stand behind you at a rally. I'm black, and I don't know anybody. And I know a lot of people, a lot of black people.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who says I'm down with Bloomberg.
Okay. Well, then
nobody.
Of those same people, were most of them down with Biden?
Some of them down with Biden. Some of them down with Elizabeth Warren.
Uh-huh.
So Bloomberg came in late, and it hurt him. He looked scared. He looked weak.
Yeah.
He didn't want to stand up for himself. I didn't even think he smiled one time.
No. Well, there was a lot of reason for him to. What about the point
That's
I made?
Exactly.
What about the point I made at the beginning that you know, you and I are paying attention, we're watching the debate, millions of people are not, and the actual voting doesn't start for a couple of weeks almost. I think he can totally recover from this. His ads are going to be everywhere. He didn't help himself last night, but the notion that he's done, he's cooked, he's toast, that might be a little premature.
Well, I don't know about that because, you know, yeah, you can just throw a little ad and be and talk a good game on TV. You know, I got some stuff from Bloomberg in the mail. I threw it in the trash. I got some emails. You know, I deleted it.
Yeah.
I mean, talk is cheap.
Yeah.
So people I hope people who really want to vote don't just get blindsided, you know, by an ad that sounds good on TV. You know, I mean, that's making the American people like not
that is not responsible citizenship. So let me ask about your process as of right now. Who have you spent most of your time favoring? Not that you've necessarily made a choice yet, but who have you been leaning toward for, you know, these past?
I've always leaned towards Biden. I think everybody got to have their day in the sun. You know, even when Republicans with Trump, you know, you had a lot of front runners. Everybody go back and forth like a seesaw.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the end of the day, I think Biden will still rise to the top. I think people start falling off. I don't think Bloomberg really got a shot. I think Amy Klobuchar, I don't think she got a shot. I think it's going to boil down to Bernie. It's going to be boil down to Biden. I think Biden will take it at the end. I think he's more going to take in the Super Tuesday in Texas. He's leading. I mean, so, you know, I'm going with Biden.
I think anyone on this case can be Trump, and it's funny. My job, and I'm intrigued by that. My job is to make sure that when I say I'm confident of Trump beating any of those people, it's not just because I love Trump. He won in 2016. Is any of these people necessarily stronger than Hillary? I don't think so. Has anything?
Well, Hillary was dirty. Hillary had too much baggage.
Okay.
I don't think anybody else got baggage.
Perhaps not. But I don't think a lot of Democrats didn't like Hillary. I don't know if that hurt her that much. I don't know.
Turnout was low.
I think turnout's going to be high this time. Charles's scenario is absolutely plausible. I know Biden looks like he's on the ropes now, but here comes South Carolina, and it's almost like there's something the matter with everybody else. Amy and Mayor Pete just don't look ready for prime time. People may start to freak out about the notion of Bernie actually being the nominee. Bloomberg had a bad stubbing of the toe. If Warren is the other candidate that black voters can warm up to, if Biden does not do well in South Carolina, and it looks like he's on electoral life support, if Elizabeth Warren showed up last night to say, I'm not dead yet either.
Yeah, and I think she could, you know, I think she's a good debater. I think she attacks, she's very aggressive. And so, like I said, I think any one of them could beat Trump.
Well,
because I think the Democratic Party is going to get behind them. They're going to get behind them.
They didn't get behind Hillary. They were totally behind Hillary, well, except for the angry Bernie supporters.
But Hillary didn't campaign where she needed to.
Just show up in Wisconsin and maybe it turns out different. Listen, I value your analysis, so give me a buzz anytime along this entire process. Charles, I appreciate you. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 725. All right. Little Doug Stone, Born in the Dark. Trying to shine some light on a number of things on Democrat debate the morning after. We'll see what Mike Gallagher's thoughts were, and we'll find out what his thoughts are with his show looming on the horizon here at 10. But between us and that, let's pop in for a visit in the newsroom. I'm Mark Davis. Here's Gordon Griffin. We're going clubbing in the Caribbean. Little Ponder Replay from Rihanna, Mike.
Who's she?
Who's Rihanna?
She's somebody. She's a big singer, right?
She's a big singer. Yes, she is.
She's a big deal.
She's a very big deal. How many Bentleys can this woman drive? She is 32 today and can buy and sell us many times over. But
But she doesn't have Bloomberg money. She doesn't have or even Bernie money.
That's right.
Or Bernie money. I mean, come on. I can't. I've been waiting to talk to you all night. That was the greatest debate. Forget Lincoln and Douglas.
Yep.
Forget Nixon and Kennedy.
Yep.
I mean, forget it. This was the greatest debate in the entire history of the United States of America.
Wow.
The blood, the spittle flying across the stage. I mean, it was Mark. Holy crap. I mean, I can't get over it.
A lot of people are saying, who was the winner of the debate? There's one clear answer, and that answer is Donald Trump.
Donald J. Trump. I mean, what a feat he pulled off. He's in Phoenix, delighting the packed house in Phoenix, and he's winning the debate in Las Vegas at the same time. What a clown show. I mean, look, can we just look at some of the highlights? Mayor Pete wagging his finger at Amy Klobuchar after, you know, he points out and just eviscerates her because she didn't know who the president of Mexico was. Incidentally, isn't it wonderful how Pocahontas came to her rescue saying, oh, well, she temporarily forgot. Well, that's one way to look at it. The other way, she didn't know.
Well, exactly.
How do you know that she forgot?
Let's dig deep into this fascinating moment that I haven't talked about a whole lot. They first of all, they had like 27 moderators. I don't even know how many there were. Just they're trying to farm this
out. And none of them in control. No, I mean, they let the whole thing get out of control. No. They were brutal.
And so the one lady who I guess works for Univision started to hammer Amy Klobuchar for having met with them and not able to remember Andres Manuel López Obrador, the president of Mexico. Probably right. Not a good thing if you can't. It's a lot of syllables, but you know what? It's probably not a good thing.
You
if
could
you
say
can't
Obrador.
Remember. Exactly. You can probably exactly
I could pull off Obrador. I can't say anything else. I can't say Cynthia Ezeguera, but I can say Obrador.
AMLO. I mean, whatever you want to use.
But yeah,
She did indeed brain fart, excuse me, on the Mexican president name. And the lady asking the question hammered her for it, essentially saying, how can we trust you on policy when you can't even remember? And that's either fair or unfair. But who came to her rescue? That was Elizabeth Warren, who had been a pit bull, not just against Bloomberg, but against some of her other rivals. Just minutes earlier, it was a kind of a good cop, bad cop from one person, Elizabeth Warren, showing a measure of grace on the same night as she showed a huge amount of aggressiveness, sending out the message, I am not dead. I am still relevant. And I think she succeeded in that regard.
Grace. She doesn't know grace if it hit her in between the eyes, and that you give her more grace than she deserves. First of all, if a man running for president on that stage didn't know the name of the president of Mexico, she would have torn that person down, that man down. All she's about is the sisterhood. Oh, let me protect my sister in solidarity here. Give me a break. Elizabeth Warren makes my teeth ache, and I got to give her credit. She knows how to bamboozle her way into a debate and waving that arm around all night long and interrupting. They let her, those weak little, wimps on the NBC platform, let her dominate the debate. She took over, and that's what she wanted. She was raising her arm when they were welcoming everybody to the arena. She started flapping her arm.
Right,
me, I got her. And Bloomberg, oh, my word. He's going to spend $1 trillion this morning. He better start buying more ads, because that's all he's got. All I could think of last night, I was trying to think of the metaphor. You know, because I thought, I've never seen anything like this in my life. And then I realized, oh, yes, I have. It's those nature videos where, like, the elderly lion is being taken down by a pack of jackals and hyenas. I mean, Bloomberg went down and did you see the look on his face? Like, he was just shell-shocked.
He was.
He couldn't believe they were pummeling him like that. Oh, I hope everybody listening to us right now saw that glorious debate, because it was, I mean, one, when Klobuchar said to Pete, are you calling me dumb?
Yep.
Yeah. And then Bloomberg saying, I'm too rich to get my tax returns released because I can't go to TurboTax.
It takes me a while. It's exactly right.
I can't go to TurboTax like the rest of you do. And then, of course, how about Bloomberg's good line? What a country. We got a socialist who's a millionaire with three homes running for president. And then Bernie, how dare you? I got a summer camp. You got a summer camp? That's what you call your vacation home on the lake? A summer camp? I guess that's what a nearly 80-year-old man calls his vacation home. A summer camp. Oh, my gosh. I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. No, I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg. That was the minute that Bloomberg thought of all the places he'd rather be in the universe than on that stage.
Yep.
What an epic night.
He spent $300 million to get on that stage. At that point, he'd have given a stagehand a couple of thousand to get him off. Just get me into the limo. Deep breath, though, because here's where the reality check comes. You ready? Everything you've said is true, and is true in the lightning bolt of news cycle that is yesterday, last night, and today. To this morning, later on today, his ads still run. Our memories remain short. Real people don't even vote for or against Bloomberg for another week and a half. He has plenty of time to recover.
And not only that, Mark, but I will add, most people weren't sitting in front of their TV screeching and screaming with the bag of Doritos like I was.
So the notion he didn't do himself any favors, and it was a bad night.
How much
does it matter? The answer is possibly not very much at all.
The only takeaway will be, as women are watching their daytime Judge Judy shows, yes, and they get the blitz of ads.
Oh,
no, that's where he's running all the ads. He's running them on all the judge shows. He's running all the ads on date. The ads are very strategic. He's targeting housewives. He's targeting targeting African Americans. He's doing a lot of urban programming.
You know who else he's targeting? Me. I see his ads 15 times a day. I mean, a lot of sports programming, a lot of topical programming, but go ahead.
His ads were running all through the debate last night. You can't turn the TV on. Michael, get it done. Get it done.
Yeah.
But you are so right. I mean, he did have a disastrous night, but maybe people that are seeing these ads, in the back of their mind, they'll hear, oh, he had a bad first debate or whatever.
Yeah.
He's got a chance to redeem himself next week.
There's another debate next week before South
Charleston.
Carolina. Absolutely.
Right.
So,
and he's no dummy. Now this, and let me be try to be magnanimous. Let me extend a little grace to him in the way that you, for some reason, are infatuated with Pocahontas.
I just said her salvo against Bloomberg worked. I think it was brilliant packaging for her to make nice with Klobuchar on the forgotten Mexican name. She wasn't coddling Amy Klobuchar. She is one who mocked Senator Klobuchar's health care plan, saying it's only two paragraphs. I'm just saying that she, for her positioning, did very, very well last night.
I'm ashamed of how much I loathe her. I really am. I know that God's going to hold me accountable for this. I'm not kidding you.
Let's examine that. I'm ashamed of myself. This seems like a kind of Mike Bad Blood that extends way beyond a lot of other people. I mean, what is it that makes her so uniquely deserving?
I can't put my finger on it. I look at her and my teeth ache. I hate the way she talks. I hate the way she interrupts. I hate the way she condescends to everybody. I hate the way every sentence is that professorial. You can say, what time is it? The clock. I loathe her. And I'm ashamed of it. As a Christian, I shouldn't feel this way about another human being. That's why when I saw your tweets last night, you said, she's taking. I really dislike her. I hate the way that hair bobs. I mean, that left bang she's got just kind of quivers. I hate this one.
Good Lord, I hate myself.
For it.
No, okay.
Oh,
well,
I do.
There's counseling in order here.
I got to go see my pastor. There's never been a political figure ever that I have disliked as much as I dislike Elizabeth Warren.
Okay, our memory. This is wild because obviously I'm not a fan. Please,
personal. There's something personal.
Al Gore, Beto.
I like them 10 times better than her, and I can't stand them either. You know what it's like? I think I understand what it's like to be a never Trumper now, because I'm like a never Pocahontas.
But it's personal.
It's visceral. Let me put it that way. It's visceral. There's something about her voice, her attitude. She is just I can't stand.
Well, then I've got mixed news because she's not dead, and neither is Biden. Neither is Biden. I mean, here comes South Carolina.
And neither is Bloomberg.
This race, exactly. Here's the headline that we've just crafted, you and me, and that is that this race, this Democrat race, is still totally wide open.
Anything could happen. I do think you got to count out Buttigieg. He's just not ready. Now, you know what? He will be a national force in about 10 to 20 years. There's no question in my mind. He's too smart. He's very sophisticated.
He's 38. I mean, of course, he's got to be
a senator or something.
All the bets off about is this the average, the three most significant candidates on that stage last night, the three most significant range in age from 77 to 78. Bloomberg and Biden and Bernie.
And yet, in many ways, Mayor Pete looked like the adult in the room.
He did.
I mean, yeah, Klobuchar, did you see her diss him at the end of the debate?
I did.
Did you see what happened at the end? I mean, he even went after her a little bit, trying to shake her hand. Yeah. She was having none of it. They hate each other. I mean, and there was a lot of analysis about the rift between the two of them. I mean, she did. She was so, her voice was quivering. Are you calling me dumb?
I'm sorry I'm not as perfect as you are.
Oh, my gosh. And all you are is a bunch of talking points, rehearsed talking points. Oh, my gosh. Oh, and you know what? He kind of is.
He clearly had some planned lines and deploys them well.
Everything is a planned line for Pete Buttigieg.
Well,
Do you remember the book, Life's Little Instruction Book?
Sure.
It's like he reads that book out loud. That's all he is life's. You know, our best times are ahead of us, and I took the incoming, and that's the other thing. Boy, Tucker, anyhow, we got so much today. I can't wait to get on in front of this microphone in a couple hours to get going.
And be sure to be there. And be sure to be there at 11:30 for special guest Elizabeth Warren, who will show up.
Not likely.
Well, I can't wait to see if this. You ready for this? Here's the possible magical confluence of events. She remains a front runner when you and I are on stage at the Irving Arts Center on April 23rd.
Warren. I'll walk out. I'll have to storm out. I'll knock over the table, Real Housewives style, and I'll storm out. I'm out. Also, don't forget, big day today. Roger Stone being sentenced. Hold your breath. Let's see what happens.
How do you think it's going to go? 30 seconds. How do you think?
I think she's going to throw the book at him.
And then will Trump pardon?
And then Trump's going to pardon him.
And should he? I think absolutely. Well, listen. No matter who the front runner is, no matter what's going on in the news, Mike will be. He's contractually bound. He will be there with us on the stage for an evening with Mike Gallagher and Mark Davis
unless she shows up.
She can't buy a ticket.
Don't let her be there.
I wouldn't do that to you or to the crowd. Ooh. But she may be there rent-free in your head. I will tell you that.
I've got some issues.
He's going to bring them all. He's going to bring a steamer trunk full of them onto that stage. Get your tickets now at 6:60 a.m. Can't wait to have Mike in town for whatever's going on in the news and a whole lot of stuff that we got planned. An evening with Mark and Mike. Mike and Mark, I don't care. We're both there. And you be there, too. Tickets on sale at 6:60 a.m. Good show, sir. We look forward hearing from you at 10. And I look forward to hearing from y'all on the phone. So here we go. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 752.
It's your cancer when you
turn. We got another birthday. Rihanna and...
Hey, wait, I got a new
Cobain. Little heart-shaped box.
Hey, wait, I got a new Cobain.
Man, that whole Nirvana thing, and Kurt Cobain would have been 53 today. He made it only to 27 in 1993. When Nevermind came out, and In Utero, and they did their Unplugged on MTV. I mean, I was Nirvana, Pearl Jam, all the CAA and Soundgarden. I thought it was pretty cool. I was in my early 30s. It wasn't generationally aimed right at me, but I don't know. I was kind of a fan. And boy, and Dave Grohl certainly turned this into a career out there with Foo Fighters now. Kurt Cobain's birthday would have been 53. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 759.